Please pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, the source and perfection of all virtues, please grant that I may employ myself in what is just and preach what is true, so that in my preaching and in my ministry I may provide for your faithful people the teaching that brings them grace. Amen. The psalmist exclaimed, "Sing to the Lord a new song." What new song is the Lord calling us to sing? What new song is the Lord calling us to sing? To literally sing a new song, we need to discover a few things. Number one, why do we want to sing something new? Are we bored with the songs we know? Or have we changed and the old songs no longer stir our souls? Number two, to find a new song, we must listen to new songs. We must hear them. We must listen to them. We must find them. And number three, after we have found a new song, we need to learn it and joyfully sing it. We need to learn it and joyfully sing it. But what if singing a new song to the Lord isn't literal but figurative? Where the new song we sing is newness in living our lives, not for ourselves, but for Jesus Christ and our neighbor. Such redirection, repurposing, and reinvention takes time. A change in heart and mind and persistence. None of us are the same person we were 5, 10, 15, or even 20 years ago. And some of us have reinvented ourselves multiple times. We reinvented ourselves when the last child moved out, when we changed careers, or when we retired. For me, one of those moments happened when I felt called to be an Episcopal priest. You want to talk about redirection, repurposing, and reinvention? Shifting from being a real estate appraiser to being a priest? That's where you find out that God really does have an interesting sense of humor. When I started at the School of Theology up in Suwannee, everyone was required to solo chant a service and a psalm during morning prayer. I wasn't very thrilled about the prospect, but if the dean could do it without breaking any glass in the chapel, I believe so could I. But during music class in Chanting 101, the music professor came over and said, "Jim, do you have a hearing problem?" Soon after that, I bumped into the dean in the hall and asked, "Dean, do you realize the School of Theology is in violation of its hazing policy?" The dean gave me a quizzical look and asked, "What do you mean, Jim?" I jokingly replied, "Well, the seminary's graduation requirements are hazing those who cannot chant by making them chant, and by doing so, hazing those who have to hear them." We both laughed, and chanting became optional for graduation. I guess chanting wasn't to be the new song God wanted me to sing. Before, during, and after seminary, God was and continues to teach me new songs, especially the songs of perseverance, patience, and prayer. Such new songs are regularly introduced into our lives by God, and they can be sung when we intentionally see, learn, and embrace God's newness in our lives. Songs are powerful. They have the ability to change our behaviors and our moods. Driving and listening to fast-paced, upbeat music actually makes one drive faster, not slower, and safer. Sad songs make us cry. Lively, peppy songs can make us happy. And when we sing, we receive a beneficial double whammy because singing relaxes us. It lowers our stress. It lowers our blood pressure. And it also helps to energize us. During worship, Singing beloved old hymns and learning joyous new songs is important because beloved old hymns are a vital link to what has formed our faith over the centuries. And joyous new songs are important because they keep our faith fresh and alive in the present. Were we to only sing new songs, then we would forget where we came from. And when we sing only our beloved hymns, we are not able to embrace the present and hopefully look forward toward a glorious future. No matter how young, or how old, how well, or how ill, how happy, or how sad, there's always time to sing a new song to the Lord, which is what happened to the psalmist when he moved emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually from a place of lament into a place of joy. In Psalm chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the psalmist woefully sang, "Lord, don't correct me when you're angry. Don't punish me when you are very angry. Lord, have mercy on me because I am weak. Heal me because my bones ache. I am very upset, Lord. How long will it be?" But the psalmist's new state of being didn't happen immediately because he wrote and sung 26 more psalms before being able to sing for the first time, "Sing to the Lord, you who do what is right. Honest people should praise him. Praise the Lord on the harp. Make music for him on a 10-stringed lyre. Sing a new song to him. Play well and joyfully." Here are three actions we can learn from today's psalm and can put into practice that can help us move in the right direction to discover which new song the Spirit desires our lives to sing to our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Number two, bring offerings and come into his courts. Bring offerings and come into his courts. And number three, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. When we wake up and proclaim the good news of his salvation, we open our hearts to see, to receive, and to embrace God's blessings for that day. Actions on our part that help us to live out Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Which helps us to understand what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verses 23 to 24. "Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Of how much more value are you than the birds?" By proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and receiving God's blessings for the day, we begin to understand that we have been created, we have been forgiven, and we are loved in order to fulfill what Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 8. "Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work." Always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. And daily worship through prayer, the responding to God by thought and deeds, with words or without words, along with corporate worship, uniting ourselves with others to acknowledge the holiness of God, to hear God's word, to offer prayer, and to celebrate the sacraments. They give us assurance. Prayer, individual prayer, and corporate worship give us assurance to live our lives with Christian hope, to live with confidence in the newness and fullness of life, and to await the coming of Christ in glory and the completion of God's purpose for the world. Every day, every single day, proclaim the good news of Jesus' saving grace. Bring offerings and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And by doing so, you will find the answer to this question. What new song? What new joy? What new purpose is the Lord calling you to sing? What new song? What new joy? What new purpose is the Lord calling you to sing? Let us pray. O God, by whom the meek are guided in judgment, and light rises up in the darkness for the godly, grant us, in all our doubts and uncertainties, the grace to ask what you would have us do, that the Spirit of wisdom may save us from all false choices, and that in your light we may see light, and in your straight path may not stumble, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll now observe a moment of silence for reflection.